The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 3 Podcast.
Second half of the program is live. We appreciate you being here. John Adams from Knoxville in a few minutes. We've already talked to Hugh Freeze. And right now, let's check in with Paul, who is in Colorado. Hey, Paul, good afternoon.
Hey, good afternoon, Paul. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you.
I called a couple weeks ago. I'm a high school football coach here, and we got the go-ahead. And my son plays at he's a freshman out at BYU football team, and I just wanted to send some love for you showing some love to the Cougs, man.
Well, thank you. Yeah, I was on ESPN Sunday morning, and I mentioned BYU and how great they were doing, and I didn't really think much of it, but apparently somebody in Utah noticed it. So I'm really glad to we had a great conversation with Coach before the Navy game, and I think that is a fantastic program right now.
And my son had offers from all the schools around here, but we chose BYU because of Coach Kalani. He's a good dude, man, and he sold me on family. You know, he just, it's all about family and fun, and that's what we're about. And cool that we're getting some recognition, because that's kind of what I was anticipating. You know, I really was.
Well, let me ask you, Paul. When does your has your season started yet, or when does it start?
Yeah, it started. We're in week three. Week three, you know, one of the teams that it's our rival, they didn't get to play. We only get six games. But one of the teams that's one of our rivals, they were getting ready to get on their bus, found out someone had COVID, so they had to take no contests.
Oh, man.
For the first 2 weeks. And to be quite honest with you, they're probably the best team in the state, and they're going to have a hard time making the playoffs.
That's a tough break. Well, Paul, all the best to your son and to you and your program, and please stay in touch. Always enjoy.
Yeah, man, and go Gators and go Cougs. I appreciate you, Paul. Take care.
Thank you, Coach. Appreciate it. Mitch is in South Carolina. Hello, Mitch.
Hello, Mr. Paul. How are you?
Mitch, we're doing great. Thank you.
I got a question, but first I want to make a, and it's just my own opinion.
Okay.
I think Texas A&M is going to be the next Florida. Every time you talk to somebody from Texas, they swear they haven't had any cases. That's impossible. That state was just as bad as Florida.
Yeah, there's only one way that you can't have any cases, and I think you know where I'm going here. That's either...
I know, and that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Eventually, the truth's going to come out. Now, but my question to you is, you had a guest on yesterday that was talking about how the SEC has became more of a, well, I guess, more of a throwing league.
An RPO league,
yeah. How much fun do you think Steve Spurrier would have in the SEC now?
Well, yeah, it's a good question because, I mean, he pretty much invented this. Not exactly this, but a variation of it. I mean, he liked to go four wide, short passes, throw the ball around a lot back in the 90s.
So, I mean, I just have thought, do you think he would be successful in this time?
Well, I think it depends. I mean, I don't need to tell you how successful he was 10 years ago.
He beat us 5 years in a row.
Right, but then he ran out of players and was a fairly, it ended with a thud.
Yeah, that wasn't good. But anyway, I just keep an eye on Texas and Texas A&M. They keep on swearing that state's doing so good. I just don't see how it's possible.
I understand your skepticism there, Mitch. I hear you, brother.
You take care, and I hope you and your wife have a good evening.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Look forward to talking to you very soon. Let's continue. Lawrence is in New York. Hey, Lawrence, go right ahead.
Hi, Paul. How are you?
Lawrence, we're doing great.
Good. I wanted to piggyback briefly on what previous caller Jay said about the Tide's seeming lack of a defensive line. I agree with him wholeheartedly. I mean, we have the same issue. The Gators have the same issue. Clemson doesn't appear to have that issue, and it's going to be interesting to see if Ohio State has some disruptive D linemen, because it makes all the difference as far as I'm concerned. So it'll be interesting to see how that shakes out.
Yeah, especially when you're up against a good quarterback. And, you know, that's the one thing about Clemson that I can't answer yet. But, I mean, they have been dominating. And, you know, I'm hard-pressed to think they played a really good team. But that will change. I mean, they have some good opposition the rest of the way.
Well, I think the test, obviously, would be against ND, right? ND
has
arguably one of the best lines in the game, you know, in college football.
No question.
And if they can disrupt that line, that'll make a statement. So that'll be interesting.
No, I agree. And that game is coming up, and it is going to be huge. Let's check in with Chase. Hold on a second. Where am I going here? I apologize. I've lost my go ahead, Chase. You're on the air.
Hey, Paul. I'm a UAB grad, and, you know, I was fortunate to be a part of a you know, the return of the football program. And I thought you might have touched on this, but what do you think about the Blazers' home winning streak right now? I think they're second in the nation.
I think it's unbelievable. Now, do you guys have Louisiana this week? Is that right?
Yes, sir, on Friday night.
Yeah, that is really cool. I don't know. I mean, I watched this program begin and flounder and go out of business. And what Bill Clark has done, I'm not trying to get him to go anywhere, but I'm surprised that his name doesn't come up first when all these other openings are being speculated upon, because I don't know if anybody's ever done a better job than he has in lifting this program up and keeping it up.
Oh, yeah, you know, I agree 100%, and we sure love him in Birmingham. We hope to keep him, but I appreciate your time, Paul.
Yeah, I can't wait for that new stadium to open. That is, I mean, just people around the country don't understand the difficulty of what this program and some very loyal supporters have encountered. Thank you very much for the call. Let me jump here and talk to Evan, who is in Louisiana. Hello, Evan. Go right ahead.
Hey, Paul. Thanks for having me.
Thank you.
So with Miles Brennan being pretty doubtful for this coming weekend against South Carolina, who would you like to see start against them for LSU?
Yeah, I mean, we showed the stats of the two freshmen earlier, and I really don't know enough about either one of them. Evan, what are you hearing down in Louisiana?
Well, hearing a few things about, I mean, it's obviously 50-50 at this point up until probably Friday or Thursday, at least tomorrow at least, before we find anything out who's going to be starting. But my opinion is I'm hoping Max Johnson gets a start. He's a lefty, great arm, great pocket awareness. Of course, he is a freshman, but hopefully that. And another question, LSU's defense, what would you like to see different out of them this coming week?
I'd like to see Dave Aranda back and this Bo Pelini.
No, you're not the only one.
I the surprising thing is this, and, you know, we all love Ogeron, but this is his guy, and nothing happens on the defensive side of the ball that Coach O did not sign off on. And I'm really curious, because I was not paying that close of attention when Pelini was brought in and why he shifted the schemes and the allotment, what he was trying to accomplish.
Yeah, we just are watching against Vanderbilt, even in the Vanderbilt game where we still won, our guys were getting burned on the back end, and I don't know, it's just something. Even though we have a few true freshmen starting, but it's still time to step up. You're in a whole nother league than high school. You need to get your guys ready every week, but we shall see when we play South Carolina.
No, you're right. This is such a big game. It's a chance for South Carolina to shatter any remaining doubt, and it's the season's on the line for LSU. I'm not saying there's much of a chance to turn this thing around where you are, but with two losses, you win this game, and then you start building some confidence, hope to get Miles back. Anyway, we're up against a break. We are going to be back as we talk about another program that had it going and then it didn't. John Adams. He's been in Knoxville for more than 30 years chronicling that program. Used to be in LSU covering the Tigers. A lot to talk about with him when we come back.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
You're not worth a flip.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free, no insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
3 weeks ago, Tennessee was getting ready to go to Georgia. Fans were optimistic, thought maybe they could even win the game. The program was back. It had a winning streak unrivaled by anyone. And now today, a couple of losses, coaches fired. What's going on Rocky Top? All this comes after Phil Fulmer gave Jeremy Pruitt a contract extension. Who better than John Adams, the veteran columnist? And John, I don't know. It seems like we've had this conversation about a million times over the years, but welcome back to the program. Great to have you, and can't wait to hear from you.
Thanks, Paul. I guess you could have queued up an old interview. It would have probably worked. But you got to admit, this was breaking new ground last Saturday for Tennessee. It had won 49 of 55 games against Kentucky, 17 in a row in Neyland Stadium. And this is, I think fans are accustomed to getting pounded by Georgia, Florida, and Alabama, but they hadn't lost to Kentucky by this kind of margin since 1935. So the folks here aren't really giddy right now.
I read your column the other day about tossing out Jimmy Brumbaugh, and I don't know. I would admit I don't know anything about it, but I thought you made a really good point when Pruitt talked about philosophical differences. Like, he didn't already have that conversation with Jimmy Brumbaugh?
Yeah, you kind of need to work that out in the interview process. Jimmy Brumbaugh has a really good reputation as a recruiter. Jeremy Pruitt wants a really strong recruiting class, understandably, and so he hired him. And he replaced Tracer Rocker, who is has a great reputation as a defensive line coach, but maybe not so much as a recruiter. The defensive line has regressed, and so out goes Jimmy Brumbaugh four games into the season. You score 7 points on Kentucky and get rid of your defensive line coach.
Makes all the sense in the world. It actually
does.
It sounds like a Butch Jones move, frankly. And I saw an article on him. He's doing great, collecting his money from Tennessee while doing whatever Nick Saban wants him to do. But you know, this is probably not the best time to have Alabama drop in for a visit, is it?
No. However, Paul, when you look back at this 13-game losing streak Tennessee is on in this rivalry, mediocre teams matched up against Alabama, eventual national champions, actually played Alabama closer than any other teams during this streak. The 2009 team under Lane Kiffin was 3-3, goes to Alabama, and almost comes within a field goal. Terrence Cody, of course, blocked it. I think it hit him in his stomach. Alabama got a 12-10 win and goes on to win a national championship. Then in 2015, Tennessee again, 3-3, Alabama on the way to a national championship, played in Tuscaloosa. Alabama needs a really clutch fourth-quarter drive. Jay Coker, their quarterback, led the way. Derrick Henry finished it off, and so they pull it out. But Tennessee's had higher-regarded teams that just got blown out by Alabama. And I really wonder how seriously Alabama can take this Tennessee team.
Yeah, I watched Nick Saban talk about how much respect he has for Jeremy and try to find an excuse, I guess, because that's what coaches always do. But I don't disagree with you. I do think this game has a chance to be interesting, but you know, interesting in a loss is still the same result, isn't it?
Yeah, I think it's almost it would be a win for Tennessee to come close, remotely close against Alabama. You look at what Tennessee's done under Jeremy Pruitt against the big three on its schedule, Georgia, Florida, Alabama. Two losses to Alabama, 29.5 average. Two losses to Florida, 28.5 average margin of victory. And then Georgia, three games by an average of 26 points. In Jeremy Pruitt's third year, I just think it's imperative that he comes close against one of those teams. Georgia, no shot at that now. And I know it doesn't look promising against Alabama, the way that offense is rolling. But as I said, who knows how Alabama, what kind of mood it will be in after such a big win over Georgia.
It's a fair point. John, just in relation to Jeremy Pruitt, because it seemed like three or four weeks ago he could do no wrong. What are the fans saying? What do you hear from, you certainly talked to enough people in that town, even under bizarre circumstances. What are folks saying?
Well, I think up into the Georgia game, and in a way, a lot of people, even after the one-sided loss to Georgia in just a brutal second half for Tennessee, I think fans still believed in Jeremy Pruitt. Certainly a good defensive coach. He's had he's recruiting pretty well. And there's still that win streak they had, eight-game winning streak before the loss to Georgia. So, however, the loss to Kentucky changed things. As I said earlier, that is a game that Tennessee expects to win. It expects to beat Kentucky more than it expects to beat Vanderbilt, and there's a track record for that. I mean, this is a game, never mind that Kentucky's improved under Mark Stoops. I think he's done a terrific job there, but what Kentucky has an image in football against Tennessee. And so fans, I think this is probably Jeremy Pruitt's worst loss since that catastrophic loss to 25-point underdog Georgia State in the season opener in 2019. I think he's kind of almost back where he was then, and he needs a strong finish in the second half of the season.
Well, let's talk about the rest of the way, John. And Alabama, if it goes according to plan, would be loss number three. We all know that there are still some pretty challenging games remaining, such as the Florida game at the very end of the year. I believe Auburn is on that schedule as well. And you know, you start to think about, you know, the possibilities. The schedule is Alabama at Arkansas. Forgot about that. A&M at Auburn. Vandy in Florida. There are a few landmines the final half of the season, to say the least.
Paul, I think Vanderbilt's the only sure thing. You go back last season and look at Tennessee's winning streak after 2-5 started, rebounded to win its last five regular season games and beat Indiana in the Gator Bowl. But he didn't have to play a nationally ranked team in any of those games. I think the best anybody did out of those six games, the opponent, I think, might have won eight games, something like that. So it wasn't beating really good teams. But it won the games it was supposed to win, and it made a nice comeback against Indiana. But now you look at this schedule, A&M is nationally ranked. I'm not sure how good it is because it didn't play well against Alabama, struggled against Vanderbilt. So it's kind of a mixed bag there. Auburn has been disappointing. But Arkansas, I think, has done way better than anybody expected under first-year coach Sam Pittman. And I think that's a tough game for Tennessee now. Florida, that offense poses problems for everybody. The defense is kind of a mess right now. But, of course, that will be difficult for Tennessee. It's not in the habit of beating Florida. So you're looking – I mean, there's potential for a 4-6 season. I don't think that's far-fetched to think they could end up, the Vols could end up 4-6 against that schedule. But they'll have to play markedly better not to do that. Pruitt might have to fire another position coach along the way.
Going back, and it just happened. It was such a weird timing, but we were so glad to get the season going that I didn't pay much attention to it. You probably did, but what was the rationale now, then, I'm asking you now, of Philip Fulmer extending his contract?
Paul, Tennessee, it's almost like a disease. Tennessee just can't resist giving money to coaches. I mean, I don't understand why you would do it before the season. I mean, it's not as though Jeremy Pruitt's getting ready to leave if you don't give him a $400,000 raise. So, I mean, Philip Fulmer, the year before he was fired, got a significant raise. Back in 2007, he was fired during the late in the 2008 season. But you go back and look at his Tennessee history, and, you know, they give a guy a significant raise that almost puts him on the hot seat. You look at what's happening. I mean, with the decision to Pruitt's kind of knee-jerk reaction to fire Jimmy Brumbaugh, it owes him $800,000. That's a defensive line coach you're going to pay $800,000 to for not coaching during a coronavirus pandemic where money's supposed to be tight everywhere. And, of course, Tennessee is still paying Butch Jones. It's almost as though they're going to pay him until the end of time.
How much longer does that go?
I don't know. I've lost track of it. I'm sure Butch is working feverishly to get another head coaching job so Tennessee won't have to pay him. sarcasm. Yeah. I just think when you look at that, still paying Butch Jones, he's on Saban's staff. I kind of wonder maybe if Nick Saban was more concerned about Tennessee, he might have hired Jimmy Brumbaugh as an analyst Monday afternoon and got to try to get some inside info on Tennessee.
Yeah, considering the amount of analysts that he has, something tells me, John, that the two of us would probably be just as impactful to the game plan against Garantano. And by the way, let me end with Garantano. I mean, I don't mean to beat up on the poor guy. He's suffered enough. But is he the best Tennessee has to play quarterback?
I still think he is, Paul. I know fans don't want to hear that, but Jeremy Pruitt obviously believes he is. Garantano played really well, protected the ball well. First 2.5 games of the season, you didn't see the kind of lapses as you've seen throughout his career. He's a fifth-year senior. And so it kind of looked like he turned the corner. Then everything unraveled in the second half against Georgia, and he throws two pick sixes against Kentucky. So yeah, fans were booing him, understandably. One of the problems, though, is not just Garantano, but it affects Garantano. An offensive line that was supposed to be one of the best in the SEC, maybe one of the best in the country, full of five-star recruits, It just hasn't played up to expectations. But again, the defensive line coach got fired, so maybe that will help the O-line.
Well, John, I mean, just when I think you'll be out of you're going to run out of things to say, you're giving gifts continually, and I envy you. What a great job you've had for these 30 some odd years.
Yeah, well, you never know what to expect from Tennessee. You expect the unexpected, and the firing of a defensive line coach, paying him $800,000 out the door, four games into the season, that was a surprise.
Well, the school's not having any financial issues, of course, so that shouldn't be a problem for them.
I'm sure it'll work out for the best, Paul.
John, always great to have you on. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Paul.
John Adams, one of the best. He has been the lead columnist and sports editor of the Knoxville paper since the mid to late 80s. He previously covered LSU, where he's from, and I got to know him there. And he has not lost his wry sense of humor, but how can you when you cover the Vols? We will take a break. More to come in the final 90 minutes. Greg McElroy will drop by. We'll get his take on some of the big games of the weekend, and Pat Dooley on the COVID issues at Florida.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
You're not worth a flip.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Squirrel joins the program right now. Good afternoon, Squirrel.
Thanks for taking my call today, Paul. And, you know, if I could have one wish for college football fans, the younger ones, I wish they could have experienced the excitement of Alabama-Tennessee week back in the 70s, early 80s. I mean, it was just so different back then than it seems to be now. Wouldn't you agree?
I was doing an interview today, and Squirrel, when I was in school and for 20 years afterwards, it was the defining moment of the football season. Nothing bigger.
Year, I think.
And it wasn't just on the Tennessee side either. I know you grew up there, but what was so unique, and I know I sound old school here, but when you would go out the night before a game in Knoxville or Gatlinburg or Birmingham where the game used to, I mean, Tennessee and Alabama fans were genuinely close friends.
They would stay together. It was going to be a good game, and it was going to be competitive.
Yeah, and it was fun, and everybody had I mean, it was the quintessential college football rivalry, and then it all ended badly.
There was mutual respect back then.
Absolutely.
It seemed like. There was mutual respect, but it's just sad for me now, you know, because I grew up there, but I was always the Alabama fan, so I saw it from a different perspective. But back then, you know, at least Tennessee fans had pride, and they felt like they had a chance in the game. And now it just seems like they've conceded that to just, you know, getting their ass kicked and move on. And it's just kind of sad for me, you know, because again, that was just such a special game. I mean, there's just so many memories. Do you have a special game that stands out in your, you know?
Yeah,
you?
I mean, but not for any specific reason. I mean, the first time I covered one, this is amazing to think about. I was interviewing a Tennessee player in the locker room. I'll never forget who it was. A guy named Mickey Marvin. You may remember him.
Yeah, I remember Mickey Marvin.
Mickey was
back with Alan Lee.
Yeah, he was a massive offensive lineman. Later went on, played for the Raiders, yeah. And unfortunately died a couple of years ago. And I was in there as a college newspaper reporter, and he was sitting on his on the bench with a towel wrapped around him in tears. And I said, Mickey, I said, I said, are you okay? And he said, I'm going to have to tell my children, I'm going to have to tell my children and grandchildren that I couldn't, that I never beat Alabama. And
yeah, that game meant a lot.
Yeah, and I think about that now. Somebody made this point. I mean, you go back to, I mean, you can do this all day, but 2006, the things that had not been created when Alabama last lost to Tennessee.
It's just been a while. And like I said, it used to be the game. You used to have some drama. And Tennessee can still be pesky. I mean, I would worry coming off a big Georgia win. If Alabama goes up there lackadaisical, I mean, they could, you know, like you say, it could be a tight
Yeah, I don't know who, you know, I don't bet, but I'm willing to bet you Danny Sheridan will have this game on his service with a circle around it. Because, I mean, from an odds-making standpoint, it all points toward Tennessee.
Right. It'd be a good time to maybe take the points. Hey, I'm going to miss being up here, but my buddy from Tennessee, he's coming down. We're going to go redfish fishing down in the marsh. Sunday and Monday, but we're going to be watching.
No, I don't remember the last time I have not been in either Tuscaloosa or Knoxville for this game, but it is
I saw you up there years ago.
Yeah.
If you remember, 3 or 4 years ago, but hell, you can't get a ticket, and with everything going on, I just thought it'd be a good year to set it out.
No, well,
so we'll be fishing, but thanks for taking my call.
Thank you. Next year in Tuscaloosa, we'll reconvene. Hey, thank you very much. Let's continue and check in with Jeremy up next. Hey, Jeremy, go right ahead.
Hey, Paul. Good afternoon. This is Jamie.
Oh, Jamie, I'm sorry. I read poorly.
That's okay. How are you doing today?
Jamie, I am doing great.
That's good. Let's set aside Alabama and Clemson, and let's discuss who's number three and who's number four. And can this year be a year where we crown a national champion with two losses? And, you know, it's possible because was it the 06-07 LSU season where Arkansas and Kentucky beat LSU and they came back and won the national title?
LSU won the title in 07. They lost to Kentucky in overtime or maybe double overtime, and they lost to Arkansas in the final game of the regular season in overtime. They used to joke that they were undefeated in the regular season. But in regular time, but you know what? I don't think so because the schedules are so truncated, and you know after Alabama and Clemson, you'd have to put Ohio State in there without having seen them play, and then it becomes very difficult. Is it a West Coast school that we, you know, that can get in there with seven wins? But certainly, I can't think of a school right now that could get in there with two losses.
Sounds great. I appreciate you commenting back to me about that, and you have a good day, bud.
Well, thank you very much. Mad Dog in Macon is up next. Hey, Mad Dog.
Hey, Paul. Thanks for having me back. How you doing?
Thank you. Great to have you back.
Paul, I didn't gloat about the Dogs beating Auburn or Tennessee or even what turns out to be our biggest win against Arkansas. And so I'm not going to whine about losing to Alabama because nobody likes a sore loser. But I tell you, I've got a solution to what the college football playoff cartel's problem is in dealing with Ohio State's scout team schedule. And I love the fact that you called them a cartel, and that's actually an insult to the word cartel. So here's how we do it. If Ohio State doesn't cover the spread, then it has to be treated like a loss. That forces Ohio State's players to play for a full game in harm's way, and it gives their hapless opponents a moral victory to shoot for. Now, nobody's going to listen to me, but if you start a movement that they have to cover the spread for it to be treated like a win, maybe even Kirk Herbstreit will take notice. What do you think?
Yeah, I think it's important for college football to embrace the spread and incorporate it into the selection process. I think that's a fantastic idea. Hey, thanks. Hate to run. We are late for a break. Greg McElroy coming up in the next hour. We'll also head to Gainesville. More of your phone calls on what's been a pretty entertaining Wednesday afternoon.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
You're not worth a flip.
Welcome back. Wednesday afternoon, Braxton is up next in California. Hello, Braxton.
Paul, how's it going out there?
We are doing great.
Awesome. Well, I'm a former Gamecock student, graduate, and I wanted to get your thoughts on my Gamecocks this year. I know Will Muschamp's seat cooled down a little bit after we got the win over Auburn. You know, we started off the year 0-2, losing to what I thought we should have beat Tennessee. Didn't expect to beat Florida, but not only, you know, how you see Muschamp's tenure playing out of South Carolina, but how do we have a successful season? Like, what is success for South Carolina this year? Is it 6-4? Is it 5-5?
Yeah, Braxton, I think that's really the question. And, you know, I think Saturday night is critical because it's an opportunity to win against a very vulnerable team. And even though college football insiders may not think as much of it as they would have earlier, it's still something to hang your hat on. A loss, I think South Carolina isn't really in a significantly better position than they were a week ago because you had to beat somebody to have a better than 500 season. And you know, lost LSU, was that three losses already? That would be three losses with some really big games remaining. So, I mean, I think this year 500 is going to calm everyone down. I don't want to sound like I'm not giving Will Muschamp credit, but I think next year is going to be far more critical.
Yeah, so you do think he will, assuming we go 500 or so, you think he'll be around?
Yeah, no, I'm not sure, you know, short of losing out, there would be any real movement to make a change. I just don't think the administration wants to deal with it right now.
Yeah, I think that's also an issue. Ray Tanner's another can of worms.
Well, Ray Tanner has certainly attached himself to Will Muschamp.
Yeah, I think they come and go as a package, in my opinion.
Braxton, thank you. Really nice to hear from you, and it's always good to hear from California. How about Shannon, who is up next? Hey, Shannon.
Hey, Paul. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you.
Sitting here watching the 94 Tennessee-Alabama replay on the other channel. Boy, that brings back some memories for sure. That one, it really was competitive. But getting back to a competitive game, I was just thinking if the season goes the way that it's playing out, how do you stack up Clemson and Alabama if they wind up playing each other? And would the over and under be over 100?
Yeah, my big concern would be Alabama's defense right now against Trevor Lawrence and Etienne and all those. I mean, they really have a – but, it's not like we really know. You know, Clemson last year, outside of the North Carolina game, looked unbeatable, and we all know Ohio State had them beaten and should have put them away, and they couldn't do it. So I would give Alabama a really good shot. I know a lot of people think there's a lot of separation, but I would like to see Alabama play a few more games. I think Georgia was their toughest test, but I still would like to see them march through the season. I might go with Alabama. Yeah.
Clemson really has a tough one coming up this weekend. I noticed in Syracuse after
that should be
Freeze and Liberty.
That should be a real challenge for them to maybe stay awake.
Really? Well, I appreciate it, Paul. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I do appreciate your call. Mike is up in Kentucky. Mike, thanks. Good afternoon.
Hey, Paul. How you doing?
We're doing great.
Yeah. I'm cooking me up a big old pot of deer head stew, Paul. You ever had deer head stew?
I've had deer chili. Does that count?
Well, this is the actual head.
Oh, well, no.
You decapitate the deer, Paul.
Yeah, I can.
You skin the hide off it.
Yeah,
and you stick it into a great big pot, and you slow cook it for like 7 hours until you can pick that head up by the horns and give it a little shake and all the meat and brains.
So, Mike, you're so when you walk by the pot, you're literally looking at the deer head.
Oh, yeah. And then you set the deer head to the side, Paul, and you add your taters and your kale, your celery and your carrots and your onions. Cook that till it's your vegetables are tender. There you go. You got deer head stew.
Yeah, I can assure you I've never had that, and I never will. We're heading to the final hour. We hope you'll stick around.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network, beginning at 3 Eastern.